video clips out there of us, and you can find us. But that's what we talked about, the story of Joseph last week, and what kind of man was he? Well, he was Jesus' earthly father, right? He was a carpenter, probably where Jesus got the trade, right? The Bible identified him as righteous and faithful. Wouldn't you like people just to say, you're righteous and faithful? He was a descendant of King David, Mary's husband. The Bible identifies he was humble, faithful, honorable, responsible, a good provider, and he was obedient. But said about him, he didn't have to say anything about himself. He didn't have to brag on himself. He didn't have to. It was what everybody else identified to him by just watching his life. And there's not a ton in the Bible about him. But we talked about that last week, right? What happened? His life just spoke volumes. And he was engaged to Mary. And it wasn't just an ordinary proposal. Because in first century Jewish law, when you get engaged, it's a legal contract. I'm going to marry you. You can't consummate that marriage until after the public ceremony, so he made this legal agreement to marry Mary, right? Now, I don't know about today, right? Our engagements aren't like that. Maybe they should be, right? Maybe we should just follow old Jewish law. You say, you give that ring to somebody and you get engaged, you're saying, I'm going to make a legal contract with you. Now we're engaged. We're going to get married. What happens if you don't follow through? Oh, you're in trouble, right? You're in trouble. You have a contract. Mary springs some news on him after that. By the way, I'm pregnant now. Now, can you imagine the devastation we talked about? Because he didn't consummate the marriage. He can't do that until after the public ceremony. That had not taken place. And so now he's in trouble. What is going on here? Now, a lot of guys just would have ran the other way, right? What? They just would have taken off. And he started to contemplate what he wanted to do. And in a dream, the angel told him to take Mary as his wife. Go ahead and do it, because which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You had nothing to do with it. You were good. And we talked about last week what Joseph didn't do. He didn't explain away the dream. He didn't say, it's a bad pizza from the night before. That's probably not what happened. It couldn't have been. I didn't see anybody in the dream, right? He didn't argue with God like we do today. God, that's not fair. I don't want to do that. Marry her? She's pregnant. I don't want to marry her. She's pregnant. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm not going to do that. Here's a great one we talked about. He didn't ask for another sign. Like we do today. God, give me another sign. You know, story in the Bible. Hey, let me flip this fleece around. You know, just give me some more. I need some more. Didn't ask for that. And he didn't ask for details. Okay, God, what are you up to? What do I got to do here? But let me know what's going to happen. Explain it a little bit further. Right? He didn't do that. What did he do? Matthew 1:24 said what he did when Joseph woke up from that dream. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. Now, I don't know, church. I don't think a lot of us do that sometimes. We didn't do what God commanded us to do, right? But he did. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. Why? Because you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't have to understand everything just to obey what God asked you to do, right? Church, we don't need to know how it's going to end up if God's in the beginning. We talked about that. See, obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. We just have to be obedient. I gave you the story last week of the resurrection seed offering that this church did back in Easter. And God said to me, you need to raise money. You're going to seed it someplace. You're going to make something happen. But he never told me how long it would take to do it. He never told me where it would be seeded at. He just said, go raise the money for the seed. So there's this seed offering still sitting there in our account, designated resurrection seed offering, right? And we're going to seed it as soon as God reveals where to put it. And there's a temptation there. Here's the temptation. It's the same temptation that every person experiences in their own private lives. The temptation is, wow, there's money there. We could spend it. Then we would be disobedient, right? So the money just sits there. right? And I even announced, we couldn't find any place to seat it, so the second or third thing on our list of what the body of people here at Crosspoint wanted to do is invest it and seat it in the children's ministry. And I said, okay, that's what we're going to do. And God just put a stop to that. Not because the kids aren't worthy, because he hadn't really revealed it yet. And I want to be obedient. And that's what Joseph did. He was just obedient. And we want to be obedient, right? Today, we're going to talk about here for a few minutes. No hesitation is the title of the message today. No hesitation. As always, you can get the sermon notes by scanning the QR code off your bulletin, or you could just find those on the website or a Facebook page. You can find them. I think they'll probably be listed up there. You can just scan those codes. You can find the sermon notes right from your app, the Church Center app this church uses. You know, we are a people of hesitation. Are we not? Like, we hesitate a lot. You know, you could just start to think about your week and where we hesitated in our past week. And I'm going to talk to you today about that as we move forward. But I want to give you a quick little story. You know, so here's something that pastors, and probably you hear a lot. We get questions, right? We as pastors get questions, and the pastoral staff will attest to this, and I'm sure you've gotten these questions too. And one of the questions I get a lot is, what do you do for a living? People that don't know you, they say, what do you do for a living? You know, what do you? And then right away, I'm like backed into a corner because I know that when I come out and I say I'm a pastor, the dynamics of the conversation changes. It just changes, right? Especially if there's some deep theological question that comes next, which normally there is, and the next one that usually shows up after I say I'm a pastor is, Pastor, tell me this. Why does so much evil in the world go unpunished? Wow. Answer that, right? Now, I have an answer. It's going to take some time. And I'm not sure somebody that's not a believer is going to really understand it. I'm not sure if I could give the answer to somebody that's a believer that we're going to have a big theological discussion, right, about all that. But in that moment, in that divine moment, and they ask a question like that, they're expecting an answer. And you know right away if they're asking a question like that, they've already got an answer in their mind. He doesn't do anything. Goes unpunished. Why? Because they don't see it or hear of it. But they want to know what the pastor says. They want to know what I think. And the same thing kind of happens every time, and maybe it happens to you. There's a pause. I got to think this through. Even though it's been asked of me so many times, I start thinking again, how do I answer it? To this person, right? And so I pause. And sometimes I stumble. And sometimes I fumble over my words, trying to not make it too theologically deep, but make it understandable in practical terms. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's some challenge there. And I'm going to tell you something, church. I think right there, it's not the question where I lost them. It was the pause. I lost them at the hesitation, trying to answer the question. And I just know that they walk away, thank you very much. Thanks for trying to answer that. And the answer that they got, you know, it's a struggle, right? It's the pause. Their perspective of us, their perspective of God was determined in my pause. My hesitation was my response. And if you ever had that happen, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the hesitation that created the problem. Today, we're going to talk for a few minutes in Luke chapter 2. And we'll dive into that. Mary and Joseph, the birth of their son, the Son of God, Jesus in a manger. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some hesitation. So let's jump to Luke 2:8. It should be on the screen behind me. It should be on the screen as you watch from home. And it goes like this. The night there were some shepherds. That night there were some shepherds, and they were staying in the field nearby. And they were guarding their flocks of sheep. And I love the word staying. Because the scripture says when you stay, that means you make a decision to stay there, but you could have left. But they're staying. Their job. Many of us don't stay. Many of us don't stay. They're staying, right? I love stories about the shepherds. You're going to hear a little bit different twist today. You got to love them. Everyone say, you got to love the shepherds. You gotta love them, right? At the end of this message, you're going to walk out of here saying, man, I love shepherds. And I don't think I'm gonna see one today. I don't think I'm gonna leave Cross Point Church and go down the street and see a shepherd out in the field tending some sheep. I don't think I'll see a shepherd going outside of town, out in the countryside on my Sunday afternoon drive in the 50 degrees on a Sunday afternoon in Ohio. Now, come on, folks, you gotta get excited about that, right? 50 degrees, right? You go after you get your meal today, you're all filled up, you're ready to go, and instead of, you know, let's go, pastor said there's shepherds out there. Let's go look for some. You're not gonna find them, right? Back then, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. They're out in the back 40, away from everybody, stay in there, and they're doing what they're called to do. Luke 2, 9 through 10, watch. Suddenly, though, this angel shows up, appeared before them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and then they were terrified. I'd be terrified too, right? But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Now, church, the last time that God was speaking to anybody was 400 years earlier in the book of Malachi. And all of a sudden, 400 years of silence, God shows up and starts speaking again. Spoke to Joseph in a dream. He comes and speaks to the shepherds in a dream, and they're going to start speaking, right? And say, listen, you got an assignment now. I got something for you to do. And it's going to be something you've never done before, but I'm going to need you to do it and not hesitate when I ask you. And you got to go and do what I need you to do. Back in Malachi, God said he would turn their hearts, the children, back to the Father. But it took 400 years. I don't know why. 400 years later, he's speaking again. You know, it was interesting that the angel never showed up in front of the powerful people, the elite people, the influential people. And it's kind of unique that they went clear out in the field, right? Why shepherds? Some scholars believe that those shepherds could have been what's called shepherd priests, special shepherds. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying some scholars, Bible scholars, think that. And a shepherd priest is basically ones that are tending to the sheep out in the field that potentially could be used for Passover. Now, you remember Passover, right? It's an annual celebration, right? And they needed, back in the time that the Israelites were held in captivity in Egypt, they needed a very clean, right, sheep. Because on the 10th plague, there was 10 plagues, and on the 10th one, God's going to send an angel through, and the firstborn of every family is going to be killed. And the Bible says that every Egyptian never heeded the words, but every Israelite family did. And that was take a very clean sheep, take its blood, kill it, take its blood, to put a spear on the, right, the doorpost of the door of that home, and across the top. And the angel would pass you by, and your firstborn would be saved. So the Israelites did that. And so a lot of people, Bible scholars, think that that's what these sheep, they're still out there like tending these flocks because they're going to use these to celebrate the Passover feast annually, right? I'm not saying I believe that, but there's some substance there. They're thinking about that, right? But the point is the sheep are being prepared to give up their lives, whether it's for the Passover feast or just every day. But here's what we know, what the Bible says. The sheep were just kind of despised. They had no respect. And let me tell you, there's four problems with the shepherds back then. The shepherds just didn't have a lot of credibility. Let me give you some real quick. These aren't main points, but I just want you to give an idea, understand that, you know, here they're not allowed to testify in court. It's really odd. You research this stuff. You say, what? They're not allowed to testify in court. If there's a dispute back then, they don't trust them to testify. How would you like that feeling? Pastor, we need you to testify. Oh, wait. We can't trust you to testify. That means I don't believe what you're going to say. They didn't believe them. They were not trustworthy. So they weren't allowed to testify in court to any kind of witness of any crime or situation. They couldn't do that, right? They weren't allowed to sell property. Rarely could they sell property. Why? Because most people thought if they had property to sell, they stole it. Well, they got it by illegal means, so they weren't allowed to do it. You get in the picture, right? A little bit. They were known as being ceremonially unclean. They weren't allowed to go in the temple and worship. That means they couldn't go to church, nor could they take somebody to church because they weren't allowed to go to church. They were social outcasts, the bottom of the barrel of the social structure. Tax collectors, prostitutes would see them coming down the street, and they would go on the other side of the street because there's a shepherd. That's how low they were. You getting the picture? But God sent this heavenly host of angels, right? His angel would go and declare the birth of his son to that group of people. He selected them when they were really kind of unselectable. They were unpolished. They were unremarkable. They were uneducated. They were just shepherds. You can see in your mind's eye what they acted like back then. They're just shepherds. And then there's this announcement in Luke 2:11. It says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah of the Lord. He's been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And the mandate to these shepherds was just go to Bethlehem and see what happened. Just go. And just like Joseph did when he woke up from his dream and did exactly what the angel told him to do, these shepherds were told what to do. They didn't stay in the field tending the sheep. The Bible says they took off and headed into town. Like the ones that are on the outskirts of Canton, Ohio, they came into Canton downtown. They wanted to see what was going on. They took off. Luke 2:16 says how they did it. They hurried to the village, and then they found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. Look what it says, church. They hurried. First, they didn't hesitate to get there, and they didn't even mess around. The Bible says they hurried. What's that look like for you and I? Right? Well, some of us could get there a little quicker than others. Right? They didn't hop in their car and take off. They hurried by however they could do it. Pastor, they probably hopped on a camel. I don't know, okay. They hurried though. Pastor, they get a horse? I don't know. Pastor, they get on one of those sheep? I don't know. But I know this, they hurried. What's that mean? They didn't hesitate. They went quickly. Here's what they thought. I gotta go there. I gotta get there. That's what they're thinking. I gotta do it. I gotta get there. And here's what they're thinking. I can't waste time. There is no time to waste. The quicker I get there, the better off everything will be. Why? Because this angel, this heavenly host, told me to get there as fast as I could get there, and I'm going. That's how we should invite people to church, right? That's how Christmas Eve service should be there. We should just get to people as fast as we can. We could invite them to church, and we could go to the next person and invite them to, and the next person, no hesitation, just start inviting people. You can grab invite cards from the VIP center, the resource center out in the foyer, and you get stacks of, you could take them, you could invite people, and there's no time to waste. That's what they were doing. They didn't know exactly what they're going to get into, but they're going. They hurried. Luke 2:17 says, after they saw him, the baby, the shepherds told everyone. Say that, church, say, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell them all. And the Bible says they told everybody. It didn't say that they held the message. It says, I'm going out to tell everybody what had happened and what the angel had said about this child. So what did they do? They told everybody. No hesitation at all, church. They just went and spread the word as fast. They didn't have the answer to the questions necessarily. Like I mentioned here a few minutes ago. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't need all the answers. All they had to do is tell everybody. This is what happened. This angel showed up and told me to do this. I hurried into town and I'm telling everybody because it's that big, church. It's that big. I can't hesitate. It's the same thing today. We should never hesitate. Why? Because there's nothing more important that we're doing that day than what I just described. That is the biggest thing in your life today. There's nothing bigger than that. And so they started to tell everybody. This group of unpolished, unremarkable, uneducated, unclean, untrustworthy people, they're going out and telling everybody. And I noticed, you know, people think they're dirty, but you notice something. They had every reason to hesitate. Why? Because nobody's going to believe them. They're not going to believe them, right? They never thought that way. It never dawned on them. Why? Because the Bible says they went out and did it. So if they were reluctant and hesitating and going, they wouldn't have done it. They hurried into town, and then they saw what they needed to see, and the angel was right, and they just went out to tell the world. We don't tell the world like we should. We need to be shepherds. If we were all shepherds, we'd be out telling everyone. Right? They're nobodies. They're despised. People probably won't believe them. People would say, they're not even worthy to have this message. Why would it be them? Right? Here comes that annoying Christian again with another message for me. Right? Man, I wish that pastor would leave me alone. And one day that person's going to say without hesitation, thank you, pastor, for sharing. Thank you, so-and-so, for sharing. Right? See, church, when your life is changed by Jesus, when your sins are forgiven, when all that stuff in your life that you don't want anybody to know about is gone forever, and you're made new, you're born into a family of God, you inherited everything God has given you, glorious riches, the Bible says, that you didn't even deserve. You shouldn't be able to keep that to yourself. How can you hesitate and not go out and tell everyone? That you're different now. See, church, don't ever underestimate having the courage to boldly share Jesus. And in a few short moments, I'm going to give you and show you a divine moment of exactly no hesitation, being obedient in a tank in the local church called baptism. So if you're here today, and you're here to be baptized, I would tell you, you need to make your way to the back of our platform, because in a few short moments, you're going to be baptized in a divine moment in the local church of no hesitation. See, the shepherds, they went out and they told everyone. The Messiah, the one you have been praying for, he's here. And Luke 2:18 says it like this: all that heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They were astonished. That means they were blown away. They couldn't believe it. It wasn't the shepherds. It was the fact of the message. They were astonished. What? We've been waiting all this time, and this baby shows up, and you're giving this message. Oh, my gosh. This divine moment has arrived. It's arrived. The virgin that was prophesied to have a child for 700 years did it. And here's the thing that really blows your pastor away. No one's questioning the shepherds. The most untrustworthy people at that time, no one's saying a word. There's no scripture. Oh, I don't believe you. Right? They believed. And they were astonished and they were blown away. Their message was easy, simple, and clear. God reached down so we could be lifted up. We connected with God that our sins separated us from. See, God took our sins so we could be righteous. God was born into poverty so we could experience spiritual riches. But why the shepherds, Pastor? Why not the elite? Why not the powerful? Why not the people that were well-to-do? Why not somebody other than the shepherds? It's like this: God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. Church, there are many extraordinary people sitting in the worship center today. There are many extraordinary people watching online today. Many, hundreds if not into the thousands after the week's over. There are all kinds of extraordinary people that God is trying to revive and shake up, because he grabs the ordinary. He grabs the lowlife person, so to speak, like the shepherds, and he says, I've got an extraordinary thing for you to do. And then we say this thing, I'm not worthy of it. And we hesitate, we don't do it because we kind of identify ourselves, oh, this can't be me. It can't. No, it's exactly you, because that's the exact kind of God that we serve. So what happens? Church, we can't sit on it. We can't procrastinate with this message. We can't hesitate. Why? Because there's nobody that's so far away from heaven that they can't be reached, and that's you and I to reach them, right? There's no one too low for God's love. There's just no sin too great for God's grace to reach. This includes you. If you are a disciple of Jesus, I promise you that this coming week, there will be multiple opportunities for you to share the message I'm speaking on today. I challenge you, don't hesitate, just share it. See, obedience means you share it. It's not your job to save people. It's just your job to share the message and love on them and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But if you hesitate, maybe someone will not hear the message. I promise you, it's going to happen. It probably happened for many of you this past week. It's going to happen to you again this week and the weeks to come as we move up to Christmas. It'll happen after Christmas. It's going to happen after New Year's. It's going to happen every... Why? Because that's what God does. Because that's how he builds his church. See, church, you have no idea how God might use that moment of boldness with no hesitation to change someone's life. And in 1 minute or so, you're going to witness a divine moment in the local church. You're going to witness a divine moment of no hesitation of people that said yes to Jesus, and now they say yes to baptism because they don't want to wait. Why? Because the Bible says you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and the next thing you do is you make a public declaration of that change inside you by going and get baptized, right? That you are, yeah, give him, yes. You're going to see that. And I want you to celebrate with these people with no hesitation today, church. I want you to be excited. You may see somebody up here that you were the very reason they're here. Why? With no hesitation, a divine moment. Maybe you shared the gospel with them and they're here today because of you. And there's some people that aren't here today because a work assignment took them away. And there's somebody that's not here because sickness in their home took them away. We'll have to baptize them at another divine moment in the very near future. But church, we're going to celebrate with those today, right? We are going to celebrate. Are you ready to celebrate with your pastor divine moments with no hesitation, right? Church, let's just do that. Let's do that. Pastor Mike, would you assist me, please? Hallelujah. We're going to ask Pastor Amber to come out. She's going to baptize a couple young people today. Church, don't you love it when young people are getting baptized? What a powerful moment. I think there's a microphone around here. There it is.
Good morning.
Who you got?
My kid out. I am going to bring out...
Is it Jameson?
Jameson.
Church, let Jameson know how much you appreciate him.
Hang on, buddy. So, Jameson has come to know the Lord and is very anxious to get baptized, and he is so ready today, right? Yes. Okay, so let's do this.
Have him sign the tank. All right. He's going to do a testimony, don't forget. Oh, he's not going to do one? Jameis, you're not going to do a testimony?
I forget what that is.
That means you're going to tell people how you...
Oh, I want to say something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What am I going to say?
How did you come to know Jesus?
Because whenever I was born, my parents took me to church.
Mm-hmm. And why do you want to be baptized today?
So that people will know I believe in Jesus.
That's good.
Excellent. Amen. Amen. Jameis is going to sign his name to the tank. This tank's been used now for the last couple of years. Everybody that gets baptized gets to sign it and date it. So, Jameson, if you would sign it somewhere, wherever you like, and put today's date on it. Anybody remember what the date is today?
12-8.
12-8. I knew that. I was just testing you. 12-8. It's 12-8. not going to be swimming in there now, Jameson. Oh, yeah. Look at all that chlorine floating. It's like a hot tub.
Oh, that hurts.
You want to turn around and face everybody? Right in the middle there, young man. Right in the middle. There you go.
Oh, that's hot. Oh, it hurts.
I'll hold it.
Oh, wait. No, that's nice.
He says, that's nice. That's nice.
You want to sit on all the
on
way down.
On my bootay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Did you lose him? He's still there.
No, he's here. You guys can see, right? Yeah, he's here. All right. All right, you ready?
Am I going all the way down?
Yeah, cross your arms like
can
we talked about.
Can my head even touch the floor?
No, not at all. No, no. I'm not going to let you touch the ground, okay? All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Amen. There's the towel lady.
All right. Next, we got Savannah Huffman. Come on out. You are the next contestant. All right. Savannah, would you like to give a testimony and tell everybody how you've come to Jesus? Yeah, no? Okay, you just want to hop in and go for the dunk? Okay. Yeah, Savannah has just really poured her life into Jesus here recently,
Amen.
And she is rededicating herself, and she just feels really strongly that she really needs to do this. So we're going to go ahead and go forward. And
Amen. Amen. Sign the tank, Savannah. Have her sign the tank, Pastor. Wait, sign the tank. Get that magic marker there. You can't do it after you get out. You're too wet. Now, how does she write upside down like that? I struggle to write upright up.
For this? Okay, cross your arm. There you go. Hold your elbow. Right. There you go. Okay, ready? All right, Savannah, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Yay! Thank you, Pastor Amber.
Thank you.
We have a couple new people to our church that with no hesitation, they want to be baptized, right? They want to make a public declaration of their faith. And folks, would you welcome Brandy for me, please? Brandy brings her towel with her. That's okay. We're going to put that right over here if you don't mind. If you don't mind. Brandy, would you let the people know your name and how you ended up being here today?
Hello, I'm Brandy Bizard. I am rededicating my life to Jesus Christ. I remember being on a very destructive path that could have ended my family in a bad place. I remember being young, not knowing what following Jesus was. I thought it was all about following rules and laws, but now I understand it's about letting Jesus live in your heart. And now I can say he's my best friend that I turn to when I'm hurt or I just want to sit and cry. I open my Bible and I talk to him and read his word and let it really soak in, and I'm able to have that peace where I can respond to others with love. And I want to do this. I want to be an example of him for my family and for others around me. I'm glad that I'm doing this today.
Amen. Good. Amen. Amen. You want to sign the tank for us? Anywhere you like, Brandy. Just pick a spot. Tank's getting a little wet. I see many of your names up here, folks. Thank you, Brandy. Great. Up in there. I told you. Okay. Just have yourself, just sit down. On your backside, there you go. Wow, this is a powerful moment to us, right? You all right?
Yes.
Okay. This is quite an honor for me. Not only to baptize somebody, but to baptize people that come into our church that are really new. What a blessing. I'm going to ask you to put your right hand on your nose. Your other hand. There you go. Brandy, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let's give it up for Brandy.
Folks, we're going to have, we've got one more, and Pastor Mike is going to do a baptism today, so let Pastor Mike know how much you appreciate him today.
Thank you. We have Denise, come on out. Denise, let's give it up for Denise. And I love the shirt. Doesn't it speak of baptism? Love, right? So, Denise, would you introduce yourself and just let us know. It's a short testimony, just kind of what God's done in your life and why you're doing this today.
I'm Denise Atwell. I'm just want to continue my journey with Jesus, be stronger. I want to be a better example for my family and friends, and just be a more loving and forgiving person.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Would you? There's a little Sharpie down there. Would you mind signing it? And again, just like Brandy, what a great testimony and testament to our church and those that are new and coming into our church, they're deciding to make that public confession. So we're excited, and that's why we want to walk with them in that way.
Hallelujah.
Be good on my hips.
She asked if she could stay in the baptismal tank for an hour after.
She's going to soak.
You all set? Here,
yes.
You cross. There you go. And you hold it. There you go. You all set?
Yes.
Wait, Mike. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Denise, because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Church, do me a favor and let all of them know how much you appreciate them. Do me a favor, let's stand and we'll end in prayer before we go down and have some really, really good food. See, church, you just never know what God can do in a moment of absolutely no hesitation. And that's got to make you feel really good. That just gives you this feeling inside of joy, right? not only joy inside of your personal house, joy inside of the physical house at Cross Point Church. So let's go out singing, "There's Joy in the House Today." God bless you.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet.
Oh, I will give thanks when the